This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Ladies and gentlemen, the therapy session has begun officially here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Wyman and Bob is presented by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort. Perhaps we should be sponsored by some sort of therapist facility, something, or at least on Mondays.
No. We don't need them, Bob. It's you and me. We provide that service.
Are we gonna provide calm and assurance to people and just make them feel better?
No.
All right. So buckle up, kids. It's going to get bumpy. We'll tell you. We'll call it like we see it here. We'll talk to Mark Schlereth, the guy who definitely pulls no punches. We'll get his take on everything going on in the NFL, his take on the Seahawks and what took place last night. He'll be with us at 3 o'clock. John Clayton at 4 o'clock and El Hombre Michael Bradley at 5 o'clock, at which point at 5:10. It'll be an abbreviated edition of El Hombre because we will turn you over to Game 1 of the World Series. So you will catch all of the World Series right here on 710 ESPN Seattle starting tonight at 5:10.
Who are you going to root for, Bob?
Who's the team playing the Astros? The Braves.
Atlanta Braves.
Yeah. I would root for the local high school team if they were playing. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter.
You want to see Bregman hit a grand slam and showboat around the bases.
Oh, yeah, that would be glorious.
I think if you were like in the first row and that happened, you would come flying out of
the stands.
You'd
see me running on the field.
Yeah.
Out of control. Local radio host is spending the night in jail after, it would be a bad deal. all right. Well, let's just get to it, Dave, huh? Let's just dive in. Let's go head first into the mess that is the Seattle Seahawks right now, who are, you know, I saw this stat on TV and I had to double check, but Seahawks are now 0-3 at home for the first time since 1992. A defense led by number 92, Dave Wyman. Not since you played, and you referenced that year all of the time. That was a 2-win season. You talk about, you know, it was one of the great defenses that year in the league, one of the worst offenses maybe in the history of the league. So it was absolute night and day to start out and be compared to that team. No offense to you. It's just the record. A 2-win team. It's surreal.
Yeah. I remember making a joke one time and everybody laughed, and it was right before a game. And I said, hey, can we give out game balls if we cover the spread? Because you can't give out a game ball unless you win.
Right.
And, you know, we were in a streak. And you know how you saw how quickly I was able to tell you what the wins were.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
At New England and then home against the Broncos on a Monday Night Football game. And also I was within 3 yards on the Raider game. It was the week before I got hurt against Kansas City, so I played in 10 games, but the week before we held them to 188 yards. I said 185. We held the Raiders to 188 yards, and we lost 20-3. So, yeah, that's what you're looking at right here. And the thing is, you know, I was looking at that game. It was Kelly Stauffer, and, you know, he came over from a trade for Kenny Easley. Then we had Stan Gelbaugh. I mean, it was mostly about the quarterback play, and that was the year that Dan McGuire was supposed to be our savior and everything. And so, you know, that did not work out. But, you know, you've got Geno Smith, who looked like a really, you know, capable backup. And, you know, apparently Pete was thinking that he could handle the entire playbook. And then, you know, when you can't run the ball, and, you know, they had small victory, Bob. By 11 yards, they beat the average of what the Saints were holding teams to rushing-wise.
Yeah.
So,
I think that was thanks to the 9 yards on 6 carries by Rashad Penny. That put him over the edge. with all due respect, I'm joking around. Nobody ran the ball well. I think Alex Collins ran really hard and made the most of what they were giving him.
Right.
But, I mean, we talked about this defense. They were the, second best or best, I think, by the time they came into this game against the run. Mm-hmm. You knew it was going to be tough. You knew that was their strength. They were, I think, ranked 22nd against the pass, so that felt like the avenue to have success. Seahawks didn't want to go down that street. They went down the other street. 28 carries, 22 pass attempts. But it just, you know, the commitment to the run game I respect on some level because it worked the week before. You didn't win, but you had reasons to believe, okay, they're turning the corner. Their run blocking has been suspect at best this year. And then they come off a really good game running the ball. I get you can't just abandon it because the Saints stats say they're really good, and so we're just not going to try. You absolutely have to try. At some point, you got to tap out and go, okay, either we need to get more creative with some short passes. Maybe we don't want Geno throwing it down the field in this weather and the conditions, but there are some short passes. There's some other plays that are like an extended handoff almost.
Right.
You know, that we could get creative. Let's just
like
get creative.
Like they did with Alvin Kamara.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird how they did that. But Pete Carroll after the game saying they just didn't get the run game going like they needed to.
Well, they're really good. They made it hard on us. We didn't run the ball as well as we wanted to. We stayed after it and kept trying, you know, and working it. And I was hoping that we would pick it up more so in the second half. You know, I think we rushed for 90 yards or something like that. These guys allow 70 yards a game rushing, 78 yards a game. They're really good at it. We needed to stay with it, and we did, but not as effective as we needed to be. I wish we would have gotten more done off of the run. You know, we weren't able to do that, you know, the play passes and the movement stuff.
I wonder how many times it was on Geno to check out, you know, when you see they're loading the box up, you know, to check to some kind of a, you know, swing route or something like that. Exactly. Well, I said it sarcastically, but seriously, you could have used Alex Collins like they used Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
You know, just get him out in the flat, you know, have some kind of a check down or something that resembles like a long handoff, you know?
Yeah.
And they had Kamara out, you know, he was out like in the flat, and then they released a couple of linemen, almost like a kind of a little mini screen that they ran. And, you know, those are the kinds of things I think could have helped Geno. But I wonder, you know, how many times, and, you know, I was saying going into this game, he hasn't looked panicked and stressed out, and there wasn't a bunch of penalties and timeouts and stuff in the Pittsburgh game. But then, you know, he had to call a couple timeouts, and then there was some confusion and stuff like that, and it started to look like that. But there was a series. Now, the Seahawks scored a field goal on this series. But first of all, Cameron Jordan just bench presses Brandon Schell into the backfield, and they get a tackle. And then Davis comes up, Demario Davis, and just blows the center up, like 2 yards into the backfield, knocks down Alex Collins. And then he goes and just blows up Travis Homer, runs right through him, and ends up forcing a bad throw from Geno. So, I mean, that's how you help your backup quarterback. That's how you help your team win. That's how you get a win at home. It starts with being physical, and you got to punish people, and that's not what I'm seeing. And so that, to me, is a cure-all, that be physical, number one. This is a collision sport. It's not a contact sport. It's a collision sport. And, you know, I just see people not doing that. I mean, look, Jordan Brooks had a really good third and short tackle, mm-hmm. you know, and he was being really physical. But I'm just not seeing that across the board. So Quandre Diggs, he just cut
all year he's
Kamara.
Been physical.
Yeah, cut Kamara in half.
Yep.
First play of the game, later in, I think it was the third quarter. So, I mean,
and so much so that you point out what I saw as well, that Kamara jumped up and like pat him on the back, like, hey, man, that was a good hit.
Yeah.
Like, well, respect.
That's kind of what we went through in 1992. Like, we would have opposing teams come over, hey, man, you guys are really good on defense. Hang in there, man. Because, you know, we had nothing offensively. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the kind of thing you get. And Quandre, you know, I think he's probably frustrated as can be, but I feel like he's not part of the problem. He's coming up and being physical. He's hitting people.
Well, let's stick with the defense for a minute. You talked about Geno, and you know, we talked about this after the Rams game, that you know, part of the beauty of that game, in my opinion, was that he didn't have a chance to think. He just got thrown in. It was like, go in there and react, and he played great. And then he had that week to really, really get into it and be the guy and contemplate. And he played okay against the Steelers. He was sacked 5 times in that game. He helped. We talked about him holding on to the ball and taking some sacks he shouldn't. And he got worse this week. He was not good. I think if there were any questions in anybody's mind objectively looking at Geno Smith and saying, why is this guy a backup? You're seeing why. You're seeing why. He doesn't string together drives. He doesn't string together games. He hangs onto the ball way too long, and understanding that these guys, Davis was getting through, Fuller's getting his backside handed to him, Schell, It's up to the quarterback, in my opinion, at that point to adjust and get rid of the knowing I can't hang on to the ball. I can't sit here and putz around with the ball because I don't have that luxury. And Pete Carroll was talking about that after the game.
Yeah, and I just not being comfortable with the situation. We reminded him, you know, it was the time we were on the 23-yard line or something like that, you know, in great shape, and we take a big loss. We just got to find a way to get the ball out and get it going when we're in trouble. It's easy to say, you know, go play quarterback and try to figure it out. I love Gino, and he's busting his to do everything you can to help us, but that's the kind of decisions that you make to keep you in the games and to give you a chance to win.
I mean, he's been sacked 10 times in two games.
Yeah.
In two games, he's been sacked 10 times, and you could point to a number of them going, dude, you got to get rid of the ball. I'm not saying the line has been great on every one of those sacks, but you as the quarterback need to understand, okay, we have a liability, or we're not able to block these guys. So everything I do has to be, I have to make a decision quickly. You don't have the luxury of running around. You don't have you're not as agile as Russ. Yeah, he's mobile, but he's not as adept at getting out of trouble, which we're seeing.
Yeah, you know, one of the most depressing sounds during the game is when Rabel calls a sack. He's like, and Gina goes down. And so
the air's just coming out of the balloon.
Yeah, and then the third quarter, there's two in a row.
Yeah.
They end up missing a field goal because of it. Because, you know, Travis Homer gets back, 14 yards? But, I mean, he got sacked for 9, and, you know, he would have been in a better position. They end up kicking a 44-yarder, which could have been, you know, something more like 35. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they give up those sacks. So I think Gino needs to figure out either, you know, something to audible to, or just a way to get rid of the football. Because the other thing is he can't throw on the run. He cannot.
You're right. I was watching you'd pointed that out before, and that stuck out to me last night, him watching that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, look, that's something that Russ does really well, and it's an amazing thing, really, because, you know, all the mechanics that they talk about with quarterbacks, you have to have your feet set and, you know, your shoulders, and you're running. I mean, you're totally out of control. There's no discipline to it or anything like that. So it's just a real talent that Russ has, but Gino does not have it, and he needs to figure out, you know, how to get out of some of those situations, especially when it ends up taking you out of field goal position.
What did you think of just the way the game was called? I understand there were inclement weather, not great conditions. You're trying to adjust and account for that. But again, we knew coming in that the strength of that defense was their rushing defense. And I know that there's a stubbornness. Hey, well, let them prove they can stop us. I get it. You can't just go out there one-dimensional and say, Gino, it's on you. You're chucking it all over the place. I don't expect that.
Yeah.
But when you see that they're you're having that little success throughout the game, and I think there was one drive where they ran it 3 straight times, and they may have gained a yard, and they punted. I'll go back and look at the drive chart. I mean, it literally felt like, here, just run into that wall, and hopefully you break through on this next one. Yeah. You know, they ran the ball 28 times to 22 pass attempts. I understand you want balance. I understand you want to capitalize on what you and build on what you achieved the week before in terms of the running game. But at what point do you go, okay, this isn't working, let's figure out another way? And that doesn't mean, as we just touched on to begin, it doesn't mean you're chucking the ball down the field. Little swing pass, little slant, little screen pass, something that is the extended handoff. That isn't a big risk in those, if the weather was the concern, or if Gino was the concern, whatever your concern was with putting the ball in the air, you could mitigate some of that. But there's just an absolute lack of creativity on any level, in my opinion. And that's not what everybody thought they were getting when Waldron, and we'll talk more about this later, but I would that surprised me. There was not even a little adjustment. There was none.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, I don't know how much that is on Gino. I mean, a lot of times, like I said, you need to check out of certain things, and, you know, but, and also, you know, the stat was out there about how they were loading the box and how many times they were. You just need 2 wins at the point of attack. You know, you just need to get a hole to run through. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's something that they just weren't doing. They weren't able to get. And we've talked about this, that they haven't been great at blowing people off the line. And like I said earlier, like Brandon Schell just got entirely bench pressed back into the backfield by Cam Hayward. And DeMario Davis comes up and just kills the center. I mean, those types of plays were happening.
Fuller had a rough night, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, you need to get a win at the point of attack, and they're just not able to do that. I don't care if you have the box stacked or not, but, you know, I don't know. I didn't really have too many complaints about them in that kind of weather and the kind of game that it was. It was a 13-10 game, trying to grind it out. And just because they're, you know, the number two rush defense in the NFL, you don't just entirely get away from it, which I know you're not saying, but I thought that there were some opportunities for them to possibly, you know, get just check it down to Alex Collins, you know, mm-hmm. little play action pass, that kind of stuff. The tight ends, you know, get Gerald Everett, who runs angry. Love the way he runs. He had a ridiculously stupid penalty, but, you know, he plays hard, you know, get it to those guys. I mean, obviously this is all hindsight, but I wonder why that wasn't part of the plan. Like,
well,
hey,
we've been screaming for the tight ends to be involved since before the season started. Like, oh, Waldron's here. He knows Everett. All right, finally we'll see tight ends involved. There were three targets to a tight end, and they were all to Everett last night. Three catches, three targets, none to Disley.
Yeah.
So they just weren't part of it. And then Pete Carroll says, you know, after that DK moment, which, I mean, what a great way to get things started, 84-yard touchdown pass to DK Metcalf, felt like the Saints D woke up.
Yeah, yes. You know, that was an exquisite play. It's a great throw from Geno. Everything about it was perfect. And, you know, that sent a little shockwave to them, too. And they kept going over top of them a lot and tried to do everything they could to keep them from getting the football.
Mm-hmm. Did they change the way they were covering DK after that, did you feel? Because he had, I think, what do you have, five targets in the game?
And yeah,
so
I mean,
four total targets after that catch.
I think also, you know, he just
five targets.
Didn't have enough time back there. I mean, they were pressuring him a lot. So, yeah, DK, that was frustrating. Lattimore is a really good player, and it looked like he was following him everywhere,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, I mean, he obviously won the 184-yard route, but or run, I should say, but yeah, the rest of the time, I thought they did a pretty good job of locking him down. And then, you know, by the time he gets open, Geno's on the run. And then you can see, you know, there are guys that are open, but when Geno's running for his life, it's difficult to find him.
Yeah, this was an interesting game because we've spent the past few weeks really talking. Offense has been a problem all year. They just haven't been able to string together two good halves of football. Even with Russ there, it was a problem. We were talking about it. It's even more of a problem. Can you string together two good drives, much less two good quarters, much less two good halves? So the offense has been a problem, but the bigger problem has been the defense. Last night, that wasn't necessarily there were some moments where you're going, what are you guys doing? But ultimately, you gave up 13 points on your home field. That should be enough to win. That should be enough to win.
Yeah.
And so in terms of the bottom line, they did a nice job. Last night, I put on the shoulders of the offense.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you look at what the defense has really repaired. I still have some complaints, though. You know, I mean, they showed a perfect end zone shot where it's first and 20 and Bobby Wagner jumps the short stuff and the ball sails right over where he should be. You still see opportunities to be physical, you know, on defense and, you know, come up and just hit somebody and, you know, punish them. That's what they were doing. The Saints were doing. Like, they were angry. Like, they were playing like we used to play in 1992. It was like, you're going to take your frustration out on someone. And I wish they were a more physical defense.
You know, and the one thing the Saints, I give them credit, and I give the Seahawks credit. They did a great job against Kamara on the ground. He only had 51 yards on 20 carries. They did a nice job. Problem is, the Saints said, okay, we're gonna still find a way for this guy to hurt you. 10 catches on 11 targets for 128 yards and a touchdown. So they just found a way. All right, you take that away, we're going to put him in this part of the game. And Geno talked about, you know, they need to find ways to get the ball to their playmakers.
You know, obviously we want to get the ball to our playmakers. You know, that's number one. You know, DK is a great player. Tyler's a great player. Gerald and all the guys. So we want to get the ball to those guys. You know, to be honest with you, I can't really pinpoint why it happened the way it did. You know, and that's something that we've got to look at and correct. But, you know, it happened like that. And we still had a chance at the end of the game. He made a crucial third down at the end of the game. And that's what he does. He's a great player. And so, honestly, man, it's just one of those things where we came up short again. You know, these last 3 weeks, man, we've had the ball at the end with a chance to go win it. And we didn't get it done.
So therein lies the difference. A 3-point game, yeah, a couple of missed field goals, that's a different problem. But they found a way when you took their star away, and what he does best is running the ball. They found a way to make him impactful, and the Seahawks didn't. He had, as we said, 5 total targets to DK, so he had 4 targets after that touchdown catch. Tyler Lockett had 3 targets the whole night. You didn't involve your stars. You were banging your head into the wall with your backup running back.
Yeah, can I just complain one more time about the defense, Bob? I was talking about the little arrow route that Kamara ran where he goes out and then back inside, and he beats Ryan Neal to the inside of the field.
Mm-hmm.
Again, universal mistake, because first of all, it's Jameis Winston. Make him throw it to the numbers. Take the inside away. Take the inside away. The easiest throw for a quarterback is right down the middle. In the middle of the field, and Ryan Neal loses inside leverage, or he didn't even have inside leverage ever. He was just the way he was lined up, and Kamara just runs right across the field, right up the gut. And that was, like, I think, his longest gain. I think it was like 40, 50 yards, something like that. But, I mean, those are the kinds of mistakes that they're making on defense that are just, like I said, it's universal. You don't get beat inside if it's your man-to-man. You know, you can't let that happen, because the easiest throw, and especially for a guy like Jameis Winston, I mean, make him throw it out on the numbers. Take away the inside, make him adjust his route, and let's see. And if he beats you and he makes that throw, fine, but not up the middle where it's the easiest throw in the world.
All right, let's take 2.
Well, the Montreal Canadiens are back in Seattle, only 102 years after they battled the Metropolitans for the Stanley Cup, which was canceled in 1919 due to the flu pandemic. So from modern-day perspective, basically it means it's a second chance for the Kraken to record its first home win tonight.
Well, all right.
In a sense, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I watched the home opener. It looked awesome. The building sounded like it was electric. We'll get a little scouting report from Lefko, who was there later in the show, but... bummer they didn't win. I don't, you know, I'm curious how people will manage their expectations, because we talked about it. Vegas set a very unrealistic expectation based on what all the experts are telling us, because of the way they drafted and adjustments have been made since, and the way teams handle it leading into this draft. So it's not apples to apples.
Right. Well, and I thought you guys explained that really well and made that point when you did the draft show. It was you, Salk, and Jean-Paul Morosi.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just not the same. I don't think – I feel like the hockey fans here are pretty well educated. The ones that are going, that they sort of understand that. You get
yeah.
that?
Yeah, I think sense? They get it. I think maybe it's maybe newer fans that are going, hey, how come we're not good yet?
What the heck?
Are we supposed to be winning all of these?
Yeah.
And they have not yet, that's for sure. Well, game one of the World Series tonight, and you just heard Bob say it. You can hear it here, 710 ESPN Seattle at 510. Yes, that means we're done early. Now, there's some good connections between the Astros and the Braves, but this one might be the coolest. Braves manager Brian Snitker will have his son in the other dugout. His son, Troy, is the Astros hitting coach.
All right. Well, let's hope father beats the daylights out of son. That's what I'm rooting for in this. I want father-son brutality in baseball terms, obviously. But, yeah, that's an interesting – it's got to be you're joyful as a parent, I would assume. You know, hey, there's my kid. He's in the World Series, and it's my job to beat him. It's my job to figure out a way, and maybe he's got some insight. He knows what his weaknesses are as a teacher.
Really quick, I remember when Jack Elway was at San Jose State, and they came and played us, and John was our quarterback, and he blitzed the snot out of John Elway.
Wow.
And sacked him like 7 or 8 times. I remember Elway after the game going, same thing every year, bunch of 180-pound guys coming through and sacking me. And but, yeah, his dad, like, lit him up and went after him, and they were as tight as anybody. So,
yeah.
Hey, you get on the field, all's fair in love and war, right?
I guess so, yeah. So it'll be fun. Game one tonight. Again, you'll hear it right here on 710 ESPN Seattle in its entirety, starting at 510. Take 2 is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberKnifeProstate. We're going to announce this show's Seahawks code word. Your chance to win 2 tickets to see the Seahawks host the Jags this Sunday. That's coming up next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Coming up at the top of the hour, you don't want to miss Mark Schlereth. He's always very good and to the point. For those of you that just like brutal honesty, get ready. He's your guy.
You hear our promo, how he's talking about how all these kids grew up with video games, and it's why they don't know jack squat about football.
That makes me think of Farley.
You don't know jack squat.
Yeah, so funny. But he's coming up at 3 o'clock, so we'll get his take on everything that took place. But it's time to announce this show's Seahawks code word. So what you need to do is head to 710sports.com/win and enter the code word RUN. Very simple. R-U-N, RUN. Do that by the end of our show to be entered to win two tickets to see the Seahawks host the Jags this Sunday. Details and rules at 710sports.com/win. So do it by the end of the show. Again, short show today, 5:10. We turn you over to the first pitch of the World Series, Game 1. So a little less time than you might otherwise have. So keep that in mind. Meanwhile, DK, I tweeted this out last night. He has absolutely become the new Breno. The new Breno Giacomini. For those of you that remember Breno, he wasn't a superstar here. He was an O-lineman who got himself in trouble with penalties, and he was frustrating. He great personality. You love talking to him, but, man, he just these penalties. You're like, you got to stop. And then it's like a switch went off with him, and he learned the line. Like, I'm gonna antagonize these guys. I'm going to get under their skin, but I'm going to do it to a point to where they're going to retaliate. I'm going to throw my hands in the air, and I'm just going to consistently be that guy. And DK's become that guy. Is he not? He just is. He's. They showed a. I saw a little montage of him and Lattimore going against each other last night. There's a lot of shoving going on, and then you saw DK. You know, after he two hand chuck gave him a good one, Lattimore runs right back and shoves him, and DK acts like, "Whoa, I almost fell down. What's going on?" And he draws the flag. He's become very adept at being an antagonist.
Yeah. Did he get a penalty at one point ever? I mean, I couldn't keep track because there were so many times. But, when they showed the replay, I think it was during the play. But still, you can't punch somebody in the face mask. He was going up with two hands and just hitting Lattimore right in the head in the face mask. So, I mean, and again, that doesn't hurt anybody, but it irritates people.
Yeah.
And it, you know, that drew a couple of penalties. So, but the question is, did that fire up that defense?
Cam Jordan had some comments after the game, and he's not impressed, and said they shut down King Smurf after the first TD.
I think that our defense played with a lot of speed and intensity and the right mindset the entire game, albeit that one play explosive, the one explosive that they had from the King Orc Smurf. Mr. Blue Hair, I'm spazzing on his name. DK Metcalf. Ooh, sorry.
What do you call him? King Orc Smurf? Is that what he said? Orc? What is that?
I don't know, but the King Smurf part's funny.
If
King
I did Smurf. Know.
Orc is from
Bob, if
Lord
I did
Rings,
know, I but. Would not. I would not mention. I would not let you know. I wouldn't. I would hide.
You wouldn't
the fact
explain
that I
your.
Knew.
You wouldn't expose your nerdiness.
The second Lord of the Rings trilogy.
I think it was about chapter 17. It was really where he made his appearance and established himself as an antagonist.
So Cam Jordan is a very smart guy.
Well, he's got one more. He's calling the Seahawks a bunch of fake tough guys.
How do I PC this one? I think that, you know, when they're trying to create a tougher identity than what they are, that's where you get a lot of more chippery talk.
Chipperier. No, what I was going to say about the first thing really quick is that he obviously didn't remember Metcalf's name on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he screwed that thing up. Absolutely. So, yeah. And, you know, look, that is something that you don't want to be. You don't want to be the fake tough guy. I don't know. I just, there's something about it. If he can draw a penalty, okay, that's fine. But there's something about it I don't like. I don't like.
Is it because you think it's going to blow up in his face or he's giving them motivation they may not otherwise have? What is it you don't like?
I just think it's wrong. It's the wrong way to approach out on the field. I mean, if you're, and I think it might actually take him out of his game, you know? So I think he probably needs to cut that back a little bit. I mean, to me, I don't know. It's kind of chicken bleep. You know what I mean? Mm. I mean, that kind of stuff on the field, it's not like beat him during the play. Right. Don't make it something about after the play or before the play or something like that. So, but that's just, you know, look, I love DK. I think he's a great player. You've got to have guys. He's kind of like a Richard Sherman from, you know, remember, I mean, typically you don't like people that are cocky and talk a lot and everything, but I felt like Sherm was necessary.
He backed it up.
Yeah, and he backed it up, and DK can back it up. Absolutely. So, but
do you think he's doing
a little
it,
bit too much?
Do you think it's manufactured, like, hey, I'm going to get under the, I'm going to try to draw the penalty, I'm going to get under this guy's skin? Or do you think, you know, we've seen he's a very emotional player. There's no hiding that. Is he just caught up into the physicality of it? Because you see a lot of plays that aren't going to them. You know, it's on the other side of the field, but then sometimes they'll show you a shot of these two going up against each other, and they're, looks like WWE out there. Yeah. You know, they're just grabbing each other's face masks and jersey and shoving, and, you know, you can see them barking at each other. So is it just the heat of the moment? Like, man, I am sick of this guy.
Yeah, I wonder. Text it in, 206-421-3776. I think that's a great question because, you know, sometimes you just get in the flow. That's just who you are. You have a different personality on the field, and that's the thing. I mean, I like it when guys are mean and tough and nasty on the field and really nice off the field. That's right. How you should be. And so I maybe just a switch flips when he goes on the field, and that's just who he is. But as long as it's not taking him out of his game. You know, if it is, but man, it can't be just the way he's hitting people in the face. Man, he must say something because we saw four of the angriest players I've ever seen last year on the four penalties he drew. Was it Darius Slay, Stephon Gilmore,
yeah,
Kirkpatrick from the Cardinals. I was trying to think who the other one is. Anyway, he drew four of them. So, you know, I don't know what he says, or maybe it's just the way that he – Pete told me last year when I asked him about it, he said that he just dominates these defensive backs, and that's what they get mad about because he's so physically dominant. And that's what draws, you know, their ire there. But
maybe they say something, and he's certainly not a shrinking violet out there. If somebody barks at him, he's certainly going to bark back. And somebody – he feels like they're being very physical with him, he's going to get physical right back. But I think you're right. He probably does need to, even if it's natural, even if it's not manufactured and, you know, that's my intent. I'm going to get this guy to make, you know, commit a stupid penalty. You know, I mean, yeah, that's a nice byproduct of it, but maybe it's just how he plays. He's just, you know, I'm fired up. This guy's shoving me. He's saying X, Y, and Z to me, and I'm going to bury him, and he's just agitated. You're right. Maybe he does need to dial that back a bit if it's taking him out of his game. That's hard to say if he's taking himself out of the game or if the play calling is.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, the other thing, too, is if that has some ability to kind of unite the defense, you know, if those guys go on the sidelines and say, hey, this guy's being a punk, these guys aren't anything, they kind of rally around, it gives you something to kind of be motivated by, a little extra.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it causes that, then that's where it could be actually harmful to your team.
All right, coming up, has the defense turned a corner in slowing down opponents? We're going to get deeper into that next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Coming up in less than 15 minutes, Mark Schlereth will join us as he does every single week for a football conversation with no punches pulled, man. This guy will just give you the straight truth. So stay tuned for that. Meanwhile, is the defense, this was their best performance, I would say. Now, I think you have to keep in mind that this is an extremely limited offense outside of Kamara. They don't have Michael Thomas. They don't have the receivers there. You've got a guy who, in my opinion, is a backup quarterback in this league. I think he showed you once again about his skill level. He can throw the ball. He's got an arm. He's wildly inaccurate. He, you know, if he were a really, really good quarterback, Seahawks would have gotten smoked last night. There were some plays that he didn't make on open receivers. Some of his receivers didn't make plays. They didn't have much to work with offensively outside of the one guy that the Seahawks just couldn't figure out how to stop. Even they knew that was the guy they had to stop going into the game. But so taking that into account, where do you feel like this defense is? Like we've got a text from the 253, and you guys can text in whenever you'd like, 206-421-3776. That's 421-ESPN. It's powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. 253 says, can we agree it's not our defense anymore? and that this offense has been on a crash course for weeks now, way too many three and outs or first down drives. Is it solved? Is it not the defense anymore? Are they fixed, Dave?
Wouldn't say they're fixed. I would say that it's improved. I mean, obviously you go, what was it last week? 345 that they gave up, something like that. Maybe it was a little bit higher. And now they gave up 304 last night. So yes, that's gotten better. Is it solved?
345. You're right.
Yeah. So, I mean, and they were giving up 450.
Yeah, so, they would have set a record if they would have done it in the fifth game, four games in a row, 450 plus.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, from that sense, it's got better. Yes, they held them to 13 points, but you're at home, and it's against, I think you're right about Winston. You know, going into the game, I was thinking, hey, he's only 27 years old. If you take care of the, some of the interception problems. But, you know, he did throw for 5,000 yards a couple years ago. So
I think it was the year he threw 30 interceptions.
It was 32 touchdowns, 30 interceptions. So, but he threw for 5,000 yards. So, I mean, is the accuracy, like, is it chronic with him? I don't think so. I think he can be. But he was inaccurate last night. That's for sure.
I think it's only if you look at his game log. It was funny. I was watching one of the shows this morning, NFL Live or something on NFL Network. They were praising him for not turning the ball over.
Yeah.
That's where it's gone to with him is, hey, he didn't turn the ball over. You know, I mean, he's got three games where he threw for under 150 yards. Right. Last night he was 19 of 35 for 222 yards, 54% completion. Touchdown, didn't turn the ball over, so they're right. But is that the bar is being lowered for him? You know what I mean? He's not being held to the same standard that Russell is or that Patrick Mahomes is or anybody else. They're like, hey, he didn't turn the ball over, so there's a win. That tells me, you know what, this is a backup eventually. He's a Band-Aid. He is not their franchise quarterback by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, like you said, no interceptions. I just, after seeing that game, and yeah, he's pretty inaccurate, but again, he threw for 5,000. I just, here's where, as far as the defense goes, what I saw last night that I sort of covet, the way Cam Hayward was playing and just how physical he was, you know, I feel like that should be Carlos Dunlap, you know, or, you know, Daryl Taylor, and they were sorely missing him.
Mm-hmm.
I would not honestly say this is an exaggeration or, you know, too far gone as far as a thought that if they have Daryl Taylor last night, maybe they get a couple of sacks on Winston, a couple more, I should say. And there was a time where I saw, I think it was Alton Robinson trying to turn the corner, and I'm like, I think Daryl Taylor gets home on that sack. So, and, you know, so maybe that changes things. But you saw Cam Hayward. You saw Marshawn Lattimore making all kinds of plays and how good that guy is. And then you saw how physical DeMario mm-hmm. Davis. That is how you play linebacker right there. Now, we saw some of that out of Brooks, but, you know, I just kind of covet the play of that middle linebacker because that's how you're supposed to play, man. You're supposed to just, like when he just kills the center, kills him. And, you know, how physical he played, and he had four tackles for loss, including two sacks. I mean, the guy was just all over the field. And, you know, you're not seeing that sort of sense of urgency on this defense. So, yes, they're improving, but are they where they can be? I don't think so. Because, again, I'm still of the camp and of the thinking that they have enough talent on defense.
Yeah.
They just need to put it together and play harder.
Here's Bobby after the game feeling like they're starting to make more plays defensively.
I think we're making plays. We're keeping people, stopping guys from some scoring touchdowns. We had some big red zone stops down there. For a team that, you know, knows how to get into the red zone. So I think that's definitely something. I think we've improved our third down numbers. So we've had some improvement. We just got to make some plays, make some turnovers, things of that nature.
And then Pete chiming in with just feeling like, hey, you held them to 13 points. That's a great night.
The defense did a really nice job tonight. They did a really good job in so many ways. And then we had one situation that really screwed up. And they had a 20-play drive. And, you know, they got some fourth down conversions. I think we were 2 out of 15 or something on third down. You know, we have made a big jump, and we've turned the corner on a lot of areas on our defense. I think the defense is playing, you go back three, 4 weeks, we've turned it. And so we can expect those guys to continue to play really well and be a factor and make, you know, 13 points against this, you know, any NFL team is remarkable. I'm counting on those guys to keep improving.
Yeah, and 19-play drive, by the way, I think you said 18 or 20, but They end up getting just a field goal out of that. So, I mean, that was an improvement, definitely. So, I mean, just you saw the things that were frustrating was, you know, again, extra meeting guy, Alvin Kamara. That guy has missed 3 games in 5 years. Hmm. How tough is that, dude? I heard he just went over 6,000 yards. He's the first guy to do it in whatever, I think 66 games or something like that.
Yeah, is it 3,000 rushing yards and 3,000 receiving yards?
Exactly.
Is that what it was? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's a remarkable player. I'm not going to, you know, fault the Seahawks for not, you know, completely shutting him down. It just seems like they only focused on one part of what he does. The other part, he was left to do as he seemed to wish. You know, it was a big day for him receiving. We'll talk more about that as Lefko says, there's plenty of stink to go around. Mark Schlereth will join us for the Stink Tank coming up next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.